Yes. So, welcome to another Saturday afternoon enlightenment course, otherwise known as meditation. So this is the opportunity to extend one's understanding of meditation, to learn more, and we have the double. So you don't need to do anything. I can teach in there and teach in here at the same time. Okay. So the PA is in the other hall as well. I welcome everybody to the introduction to meditation class. Those people in the small room, you have an excellent teacher today in Jill Hannah. She's that close to enlightenment. You wouldn't really believe it. At least she doesn't believe it anyway. But she is now coming. So welcome everybody. Okay, thanks, Jill. So, for today, this is the ongoing class. So those who come to the introduction to meditation class, that's in the room to my right. And here we just say something new about meditation or something you haven't heard for a while. And I thought I'd focus on a part of the meditation called when we start watching the breathing, because when we start the meditation and doing the preliminaries of present moment awareness and silence, that's really, really important. But you don't need to be perfectly silent or perfectly in the present moment before you go on to the breath. It's just a matter of your own experience of what's the right time to go on to the breath. If you go on to the breath too early in this meditation, now you'll find that you can't hold it there. You just get thoughts of the past, thoughts of the future, or you get the inner commentary coming along disturbing you and the mind wanders off. So the idea of doing present moment awareness and silence practice, first of all, is to settle the mind down, to make sure the biggest obstacles to the meditation, wandering off into the past or projecting into the future, and all this thinking mind, the two biggest obstacles, are dealt with at the very beginning, to focus on those until they are subdued. And once they are subdued, not eliminated but subdued, then you can go on to watch something like the breath, and it's easy to hold. So there comes a time when you get onto the breath, either it comes by itself or you choose to watch the breath. And there's one thing which is important when you do the breath meditation, is not to force the awareness on the breath, not to concentrate in the sense of really holding onto it like grim death. Because you should all know by now that such aggression, such tension in the mind is not going to be conducive to peace and this beautiful sense of freedom and happiness in the mind, which is where meditation is bringing you. So you don't put too much effort in. If you have to put effort in to hold the breath, it means that you got to the breath far too soon. You should go back to present moment awareness and silence and calm everything down, first of all, so that when the breath does come in or you invite it in, it's easy to stay. And even just using language like invite the breath into your mind is a much more useful concept. Instead of grabbing it and bringing it in, you invite it in, which means you're respecting the breath, just like it's a friend. You know, you invite them home, you don't tell them to come home. And once you've invited the breath in, you treat it like a friend all the time. You don't treat it like a slave. I say this in the meditation retreats, when people do lots and lots of meditation, they spend a long time watching the breath. Never think that you are the master or the mistress and the breath is some lackey, some slave, servant or maid of yours. You can tell it what to do. Because if you tell the breath what to do and order it around, it will run away from you. So instead, you treat the breath like a friend with respect. And if you treat it like a friend, the first thing is you don't order it around. You don't tell it which way to come in, which way to go out. You don't go telling the breath, go in long, go in short, be soft or whatever. You just are with the breath. Sometimes I used to imagine myself just like you're holding the hand of the breath. Because you only hold hands with a friend or with a lover, someone you feel really comfortable with. So like holding the hand with the breath means I'm comfortable with you, breath. The breath is comfortable with me. I'm treating you like a friend. I'm not sort of dragging you along like the dog when you take the dog for a walk in the morning. No, you are treating the breath like a beautiful friend. And if that type of attitude, you'll find actually the breath stays with you. Again, when you watch the breath, many, many years of watching my own breath, if it does disappear, it means I got to the breath too soon, or that I've been treating it badly. I haven't really relaxed with the breath. It does take a lot of confidence to let things be, because usually we are of the opinion, if we don't put effort, we don't try, we don't control things, it all goes wrong. But you will find that the less you control, the more you treat it like a friend, then the more the breath will stay, it will be stable. It's the same reason why in life you get into lots of trouble, because of fear, the fear that things will go wrong. We control so much, and of course then things go wrong. What we were afraid of actually happens. But if we let go of this fear and just relax, let it be, see what happens, then you'll find that the breath actually stays with you. It's just there. And after a while you realize why it's the controlling, the forcing, being afraid of it, sort of disappearing. That was the reason why you were too tense, and it meant the mind wasn't in the right position to hold something like a breath. So when you relax with the breath, and relaxing with the breath is like treating it like a friend, not like a slave, respecting the breath, caring for it, then you find it's very easy to watch the breath. Even like caring for the breath. When I start this meditation, I ask you to care for your body. If you need to cough, cough. If you need to scratch, scratch. So if the breath needs to come in long, let it come in long. If it needs to go in short, let it go in short. If it needs to sort of pause, let it pause. If you need to take a sudden gulp of air, just let it do that. So in other words, respect. So for your body, that it knows how to breathe, your job is to watch and to care for this breath. And it will do the breathing by itself. Usually, like years ago, you know, the meditation teachers I grew up with, it always says, just like planting a tree, your job is to protect the tree, to make sure the kangaroos or whatever else is in your neighborhood don't eat the small sapling. And as long as no one eats a small sapling, you guard it, the tree grows by itself. So your job is just to guard the meditation so it will grow by itself. And that's what we mean by caring, protecting, nourishing, nurturing, but not doing anything. Let the tree do the growing. Let the breath do the breathing. Your job is just to watch with care. And the second thing, when we care for something, you know, we value it, then it stays with us. What we value is what the mind will incline towards. If you really value the breath, then it will stay with you. But if you value, you know, thinking about what you have to do next or working out the problems in your life, if you truly think that's important, that will stay with you. So it does need a little bit of marketing as well, and that's mostly my job, to say if you can stay with the breath, it's just a beautiful thing, and after a while you get so peaceful, so lovely, so nice, so relaxed, and if you take it really deep, you can get enlightened. So this is actually telling you that if you watch the breath, it really is important. And you ask anybody who's done breath meditation for a long time, and they'll confirm it's a wonderful way of relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, with all sorts of physical and emotional benefits. It's worth doing. But thinking, 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 you've also done that for a long time in your life. And does it really have such value? So put the value in the breath. This is important. This is precious. This is like a jewel. This is like a winning lottery ticket. Don't lose it. And if you value that breath, of course it stays. So with care and value, this thing actually stays. So it's not effort which you use. It's what I keep telling my monks in Serpentine, wisdom power. Use wisdom power to look after the breath. It's important, it's valuable, I'm caring for this. This is like a vehicle which is going to take me really deep into amazing states of mind. I really care for this breath. And if you really care for it, then it stays. Now, the next thing which happens to the breath is that it gets very comfortable and peaceful. This is what's supposed to happen. So it gets smooth. The reason is, it's just science, it's just physiological. You're sitting still, you're not thinking so much. You just, your vehicle is idling. It doesn't need so much gas, so much petrol to run it. You know, you're not running around, you're sitting down, you're relaxing, the metabolism goes down, you're not thinking, 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 which takes up a huge amount of energy. So literally you don't need so much breath. That's why it starts going very calm and very slow. It's just the nature of the body. You're not thinking, you're not doing things, you're not moving, therefore you don't need so much breath. So it just calms down, it gets nice and calm and still and peaceful and gentle. And it's wonderful just to have things on like the idle mode, not doing so much. And that gives the sense of peace which generates the joy of meditation. No peace at last. Why do people go on holiday or vacation? They just like to have some peace, for goodness sake. They don't have a house to look after. They don't have neighbours having parties in the middle of the night. They don't have the telephone ringing. They get away from it all the busyness of your life. Isn't that bliss? You know, if I gave you like a holiday for 2 weeks in Bali, or even better, a 2 week holiday in Jhana Grove for free, would you take that? Yeah, why? Because it's nice and peaceful and tranquil and nice. And so you can see that this is like a holiday. And with a holiday, there's a joy, a happiness. And you associate that with the breath. Oh, all I've got to do for the next half an hour is just watch the breath go in, watch the breath go out. No worries, no concerns, nothing to achieve, nothing to fix, no problems in life, no past, no future. The only thing I've got to watch is just one breath going in. Ah, now that really is a holiday. No business to do, nowhere to go. Nothing to fix, nothing to correct, no problems at all. Peace. Now that peace is delightful. The same delight which people look forward to when they go on holiday, but they don't find it when they go on holiday. They go to all these places and they get very busy. You know that some years ago someone sent me a brochure of Club Med, you know, that group of holidays. And I just couldn't believe the activities people do when they're on holiday. They get up in the morning and there was kayaking, in the middle of the day scuba diving, and then just before lunch there's a cocktail party and a big lunch, and after lunch a football game or whatever. And it went right through to about 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, the evening dance and party. And that was supposed to be relaxation. My God, even reading about that made me feel so tired. And people pay money for that. Crazy, isn't it? They work their butt off at work and then they go and play their butt off when they go on holiday. They really get tired. It's really crazy. No wonder people are so stressed out in this world. But just to have a few moments of peace, nothing to do, just being here. It reminds me, years and years ago, we had a little youth group here. I had to teach some meditation. And these were like little kids, you know, like 7, 8 years of age. And how can you teach a kid how to meditate? So he had to innovate. And I use this like knowing that children have incredible powerful imaginations. You know, we've lost that ability to really imagine and fantasize and dream. Now really imagine full on. And so I told these kids, like, sit down and relax the body just like I tell you. And they said, like, imagine you're floating out of your body, out over to the beach. And I made it sort of really long with all the descriptions. And out into the ocean, the Indian Ocean. And just you go to your place in the ocean. You just drop into the water and it's so warm and calm. You don't have to struggle. You just relax there and you float with your head above the water. And you look around. There's no land. There's no ships. There's no other people. This is your place. No one is going to hurt or harm you here. This is total safe. Nothing got problem at all. Just floating in this beautiful, warm, soft water with just blue sky overhead and nothing at all in either any direction. And I really got off on this. And then there's kids, I meet them every now and again. They say, yeah, we still do that. Just their little place, their imaginary place in the ocean. And that is a way of getting away from things. Even kids have their stress, as you know. It's usually their younger sister or older brother or something. But they have their stress, but they just go away and find a place of peace. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is to generate that perception of the joy of peacefulness. Because when you're meditating, you get the breath, you're calming down, metabolism has gone down, the body doesn't need so much oxygen, it's nice and still and easy.
Please enjoy that peace. Get off on it. Remember, you don't have to do anything. There's no struggle anymore. No one's on your back telling you to do things. You're totally free. That really is a holiday. So once you start enjoying it, that is what I call, tell the monks, the pivot point of meditation. You're enjoying just being with the breath. It's just so nice, just being here. When I do this, I don't need to talk, I don't need to counsel, I don't need to do anything. I'm totally free, free of the world. You feel so peaceful, you really are relaxing. And once you start to enjoy that, that's when you get addicted to it, which is good. Be addicted to peace. It's much better than being addicted to stress and thinking and worrying. What are you doing? You're valuing this. And once you value it, the mind automatically will go back there again and again, because you enjoy the meditation. It is actually the most wonderful way of spending 40 minutes. You look forward to it, because it's so relaxing, so peaceful, so joyful, just being with the breath going in. Being with the breath going out. So nice, so free. And once you get that joy in meditation, then you're off. You enjoy the meditation, it gets deeper and deeper, and you get some really amazing happy states of mind. But that is coming later. So in the time being, present moment awareness, silence, and then just work with this breath, be a friend to it, it will settle down by itself. The wisdom tells you the cause is you're not doing anything, you're not worrying about things. Even the brain is not consuming so much oxygen. So you get very peaceful and very still. And that becomes a great sense of joy. So it's really easy. So any questions there? Good. Questions come afterwards. Okay, so let's get into some meditation. Closing your eyes. Bringing an awareness onto the body. Making sure your body is comfortable. There is no magic posture which suits everybody. Your posture is probably unique. The only meditator in the world who sits like you is you. And that's good. Bring awareness into the present moment, just now. All the struggles of the week, coming and going, planning and remembering. Now you are free. This is holiday 40 minutes. And as you settle your awareness on your own body, spending quality time just with your body, with nothing else. It's amazing just what you can pick up. Irritations, aches, which have been there all day, but you've been too busy to notice them. Now do something about it. Scratch, stretch, cough, sneeze. Being responsive to your body. Your body is your friend. Again, not a slave. So just like a good friend which you care about, you ask, is there anything you need, friend? Anything I can do for you? Ask that to your body. It's amazing what you hear from your body when you ask it what it needs. if there's any irritation inside, any ache or pain which you cannot make more comfortable by moving or scratching, then just relax into it. Put all your mindfulness inside that pain or irritation. And from inside, spend this beautiful loving kindness. Caring, accepting, embracing, being with. Letting it be. It's just part of life. And I'm with life, not against it. You'll find the tightness of negative reactions just vanishes. The irritation eases. Sometimes it just disappears. Because we don't fight it. going to the present moment, the silence and the breath in your own time. getting close to the end of the meditation again. What are you aware of? What is the content of your mind? And what is the quality of your mind now? It's how much peace and relaxation and happiness have been generated. To know this feeling and value it. Going to ring the gong 3 times. When the gong finishes ringing for the 3rd time, come out from your meditation. Ends the meditation now, and apparently, because we're streaming this live as well, just the last couple of Friday nights, all these talks have been streamed all over the world, and we've been getting questions from all over, and they've done the same now. My goodness, so there's 3 questions there. One is from Bulgaria, one is from Cape Town, South Africa. Another one is from Omaha, Nebraska. It's amazing, isn't it? Just way around the world. So the first question I got, this is from the internet, so hi in Bulgaria. Can a person with a chronic breathing sickness, difficulty breathing, the need to cough every 1 to 2 minutes, practice meditation? If no, what can be done to help such a person? Thank you. Yeah, of course you can. So you just follow those instructions, being in the present moment, first of all. Because if you're in the present moment, the idea of 1 or 2 minutes doesn't really make any difference at all. When you really get into the present moment, the whole concept of time vanishes. You're just here. But it's important that if the body needs to cough, just cough. Don't control it, let it be. As if you don't own the body and let the body do the coughing, you're just this observer. Then you find it doesn't disturb you. So you just leave it alone, let the body cough. When it coughs, it just coughs. And a lot of time, because you really relax, you're not afraid of the cough, you're not trying to control it, you'll probably find that either the coughing gets less and less and less, or sometimes it even vanishes. Never underestimate the power of peace. So yeah, you can do with chronic breathing sickness. If you do the meditation properly, look upon your breathing as a friend. It's a sick friend, so care for it. So a lot of times that I've been with sick people, you've cared for them. And as I said last night, never look upon sickness as something wrong. It's part of life. Embrace it, be with it, relax with it. And it gets less. So, you know, I've had hay fevers. Sometimes you had coughs. I can remember several occasions. Probably the classic occasion once when I was in Canberra, in the capital of Australia, giving some talks. And I got a cold in the morning, Canberra being such a freezing capital of this country. Got a cold one morning and my host decided to take me out just for a short visit and ended up, you know, going out all day. By the time I got back, I had to give a talk. No time for a shower, just a quick cup of Chinese tea. That's all I could get, and I was going to give a talk. I had this terrible cold, sneezing, running nose, felt awful. I was trying to give a talk, and it lasted for about 15 minutes, and I just gave up, because you'd start a sentence and then you'd cough. You'd have to wipe away, you know, the stuff dripping down from your nose. And so I told people, okay, let's just meditate for half an hour. So I was meditating in the middle of a very, very bad cold, flu-like. And after half an hour, then we finished the meditation. I gave this 1 hour talk with not a cough, with not a sneeze. That was really amazing. Just to see just how you just really relax. Really relax deep. And of course, you know how to do that, being a monk for such a long time. And some of the symptoms, incredible, they disappear. So yes, go for it. So going to Bulgaria, or go from Bulgaria, yes, do it, but do it properly. Not with force, not with control, not with fear. Making peace, being kind, being gentle. Present moment awareness. And I think you'd have some amazing results. James from Cape Town, South Africa. I tend to fall asleep. How can I prevent that? Why do you want to prevent that? You must be tired. Especially, I know, what time is it in South Africa now? About 8 o'clock in the morning. Is that right? 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. Sometime like that. So, you know, you probably got up too early this morning. So next time you can look at this talk later on in the day. But usually people fall asleep because they are tired. So number one, get more sleep. And number two, if it's not physical tiredness, sometimes it's just a bit of mental boredom. So try and make the meditation a little bit more interesting. And when you make it more interesting, like, you know, doing weird breathing practices like that technique which I developed called backwards breathing, which means that when you do your breath meditation, everybody does breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. So try the opposite. Breathe out first and then in. You'd be surprised, it actually feels different. Change your posture. But remember, don't fight the sleepiness. Make it more interesting. Play around with it. Because if you fight it, you just waste more energy. So if you really are sleepy, just let yourself be sleepy. And after a short while, it usually disappears. The reason is, I tell this often in retreats when people meditate a lot, is that the two halves of the mind, the knower and the doer, the doing takes up so much energy, you've got nothing left, hardly anything left for just knowing. And when you're tired, it means you just no energy left at all, and the mind falls asleep. Let it fall asleep. Don't fight. Don't do anything. Just flow with the sleepiness. And if you are kind to the sleepiness, accept it, embrace it, what happens is that because you're not doing anything, you're not fighting, you're not reacting, you're not getting negative, the natural energy of your mind starts flowing into knowing. The knower wakes up. And soon you're bright again, without any restlessness. You've suppressed the doer. Don't react, don't do things, let it be. And after a while, the mind wakes up. And when it wakes up, it's really peaceful. The last question from Carl from Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, I would like to ask how one lets go of attachment to the body. I just don't understand how one can detach from all the senses. Thank you. I suppose it's a little bit of a trick how you let go of the body. Because first of all, you sit down with your eyes closed, so you detach from seeing. And then you sit in a quiet place so that there's not much sound going on, so you detach, you know, from hearing, because there's nothing going on. And then because you're not passing wind, or there's no bad smells around, the smell disappears, you're not eating or chewing things, so the taste disappears, and your body is a difficult one to let go of. But if you sit still and just focus on the breath, after a while all you've got left in the whole world is the breath going in and breath going out. That is like halfway between totally letting go of the body and being with the body, because most of your body has vanished. You're just with the breath, breath going in, going out, going in, going out. And you find the rest of the body's disappeared. Remember very early on in Thailand when you had all these hundreds of mosquitoes all over you, and sitting out in the jungle in the evening time was just very, very unpleasant. So I just watched my breath. I really watched my breath so well that after a while all I could feel was my breath going in and breath going out. I could feel no mosquitoes on my body at all. I couldn't feel my arms or my head or any other part of my body. It all disappeared. When you focus on one thing, the rest of you disappears. So that's what you start to do. Just focus on the breath until it's just the breath. You can't feel your legs. You can't feel any part of your body. It's gone. It's vanished. And then when the breath starts calming down, because you're not doing anything, you become so still and so peaceful, that then disappears. And then you detach from the body. You realize you're not aware of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or physical touch. You really have detached, it's disappeared. And that's when you get these beautiful lights in the mind, the nimittas, and you get into the incredible deep states of meditation. You can't feel the body. It's brilliant. You know, there's one guy, and he was in the British Army, always had these migraines. And the only way he could overcome the incredible pain of migraine, he said, was just to go deep inside himself to the place where he couldn't feel the migraine. And it's just the pain in his body just forced him to really let go of the body. Just not by fighting it, but by going deep inside. And then he couldn't feel anything. And he told me once that he was on some maneuvers in Germany, and he was the sergeant or whatever, and they stopped for a cup of tea, as the British Army often do. That's why they lost all their empires, just too busy drinking tea. But that's, at least they're not violent. But anyway, they were busy drinking tea, and he had a migraine. He went into a nearby shed to, you know, try and get deep inside to get away from the migraine. And it was told me that he actually really got into some deep meditation, because apparently the order was changed and the soldiers had to stop drinking tea and go to some other destination on some exercise. And they forgot about him. So they left him in this shed, just in his meditation. And then later on they realized, oh my goodness, we've forgotten the sergeant. So they drove back, and there he was sitting. And they literally, these soldiers, they picked him up, still sitting, and put him in the back of a truck. And he didn't know anything about that. He was too busy, you know, meditating deep inside. He wasn't asleep. He was perfectly aware, but inside. And when he came out of his meditation, he was in a truck, not in a shed. What happened? How did I get into here? So he was not aware of his body at all. And I couldn't hear. And you know, soldiers are not the most delicate of people. You know, they're pretty rough. So, you know, they picked him up and dumped him in this truck, which was making a loud noise and going across this, you know, country road. But still he didn't hear or know anything. And that's actually how you let go of the body. You go deep inside until the whole body vanishes. You know, that's very, very beautiful and peaceful and wonderful to be able to do that. So yes, how you do it. If you follow these instructions, just, you know, present moment awareness and silence to settle you down, and focus on the breath, and all the body vanishes except for the breath, and then the breath vanishes, and then your body is disappeared. And once you've done that temporarily, you come back again to your body. You realize what this body truly is. It's just a body, that's all. It's got its aches and pains, but you know how to let it go, how to leave it alone, how to detach whenever you really need to. It's a very good thing to be able to do, especially when you get to my age and above. It's getting more and more aches, more and more pains. I was stupid busy mixing concrete the last couple of days at Jhana Grove. Good fun, but I really pay for it now. Aching here and aching there. But you know, boy being a boy, I love mixing concrete. So that's what I can do. I can meditate and let go of my body so it doesn't ache anymore. So thank you for those questions, and hopefully that there's good answers. If there's not, please SMS another question later on, maybe next week. But are there any questions from here in Australia or the international meditation class? Okay, great. So we can finish off now. Thanks to everybody from overseas listening to this meditation, and thanks everybody here. We can now pay respects to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. I'm really back for this.